Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Continue to send in your golf advice for our good buddy there, Jake Murren. Gardo's getting a series underway against the A's this weekend to talk about the state of the Gardo's and some of the different things we're contending on here, including he's not just going to talk about big league club, he can talk about the minor leagues as well. Justin Latta joins us of the Locked On Guardians podcast in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Justin, welcome to the show, bud.
Hey, Nick, how's it going? First time, not first time, but long time.
Yeah, people don't know this. You were one of our OG interns, right?
Yeah, it's been almost a decade now, over a decade, actually.
I was going to say, I think it was it 2013? I don't know. Time is a flat circle.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about it where I'm at today. Trust me, it's been a long time.
Well, I'm older than you, so I get to play the I don't even want to think about it card. Now, I do. So are you a golfer?
I am not. My advice was going to be play a scramble and don't ask me because you'll be there for 5 hours. I'm sure Jake's a great guy to hang out with, but if you ask me to golf with you, we'll be there for 5 hours and we'll piss a lot of people off.
So the scramble thing's really smart. I do think, unless you just are naturally have some sort of proclivity towards golf, the first 10 times you golf, you're just there for fun and play best ball. Like, let's take it easy on yourself, because otherwise you will end up hating this sport. Earlier in the show, Justin, Jake and I got into it because he felt like the Giants series did nothing for him in terms of changing where he's at, where I just needed a win. I just needed a series win. Where are the Guardians post a tremendous series win drought into you won one against the Giants?
It's a good win. I mean, any series win, I think you got to take baby steps from where they were at, right? They were definitely in a funk before that series. Offensively, I have to say Jake's right. They didn't really do a whole lot offensively. Like, outside of the big three and homer from Daniel Sheeman, you didn't do a ton of good things offensively. Some guys did some good things. Some guys continued to be in a hole. I mean, Jose Ramirez didn't have a great series. They need Stephen Kwan, like an all-star, in order to win. So, yeah, as far as offense is concerned, they didn't turn anything around. The pitching's good, though, you know, except for some of the weird bullpen choices. But overall, the pitching continues to be good, and you can be encouraged about that because they don't got to score so many runs if the pitching is good.
I made the comparison earlier, Justin, that I felt like Matt Festa is essentially the Steve Vogt version that Brian Shaw was for Tito Francona. A fair comparison or no?
It seems like that. That's exactly what I thought last night, too. I said going to Matt Festa 3 games in a row definitely felt very Tito Brian Shaw-esque. Maybe they had a good game of cribbage out on the road or whatever card game they like to play. But that was definitely a choice.
Justin, kind of given it what so I don't think anybody going 3 straight games in the same situation for a guy who's there. He's not a bad pitcher, but he's there. He's okay. He's definitely something that was criticized a lot yesterday. I'm just curious because people then took it the one step further. Because the Guardians are 1 game above 500, there's this narrative forming that Stephen Vogt is having a sophomore slump. Do you agree or disagree with that conversation?
I mean, he is a second-year manager who never managed before last year. So this is, I mean, it was only a second year on a big league club on the bench. So yeah, there's still going to be some growing pains for managers. It's no different than a prospect. You know, progress or development is not linear, so the manager could be the same things. He's also got to figure out that he doesn't have the same team as a year ago. I mean, we talk about Terry Francona in a very, very good light here, but if he went back and asked people how he did in his first trip through Philadelphia, you know, it wasn't very pretty. He didn't think he was going to get another manager's job after that. So I guess you can buy into a sophomore slump. I think it's just learning your team, and he's learning that the team he has this year isn't the same as it was a year ago, and the circle of trust in the bullpen has changed, and there are injuries or guys going through things. So, yeah, I think it's a bit of a growing pain. I think that's fair. I think everybody has to kind of learn on the job, especially when you have the inexperience he has. But he didn't learn, you know, he didn't forget how to manage overnight. The guy was the manager of the year last year. For we give managers and coaches too much credit, too much blame, but, you know, they still were a good team a year ago.
So you mentioned he's trying to figure out this team that clearly wasn't what it was a year ago. We've seen positive signs out of both the bullpen and the starting rotation as the offense continues to blunder. If the Guardians are going to make a postseason run, just how good does the offense have to be?
4 runs is the magic number for them. If you look at their record when they score 4 runs, I think that's kind of the magic number across the league, really. It's going to depend on who you're matched up against. If you're matched up against teams with high-octane offenses like the Yankees or whoever else, it's going to be really tough for you to do that. And the offense is going to have to be good because the bullpen is solid. Like Class A, I know he's had his hiccups recently, and in San Francisco he wasn't the greatest, and he hasn't been good at the start of the year. But for a while there, he really had to figure things out. I think he'll be fine. Cade Smith, you know, is still pretty good. I don't know if he's as good as he was a year ago, but that's maybe an unrealistic ask. Hunter Gaddis has been fine. He's had a few slip-ups lately, but he's overall fine. And after that, their bullpen is a lot lighter than it was a year ago, so the offense does need to pick up the slack there. Luckily, the rotation has started to do that, but they have essentially, you know, three and a half hitters right now. It's Jose Ramirez. It's Stephen Kwan most days. It's Carlos Santana some days. And then occasionally it's Kyle Manzardo, but for a large chunk of the season after April, it has not been. And we don't even know when he's going to be in the lineup, truthfully.
I know the Guardians want to put a lot of the onus and the struggles of the young bats on the lack of at-bats, and whether that's in minor leagues or the big league level, and I think that's true to some degree, but yet there's still the glaring problem that they just have not consistently developed enough hitters, and specifically power hitters. Do you have any working theories on why we just haven't been able to do this over the last 3-4 years?
Well, they went in a really all-in approach on the contact thing. That was their draft approach, and it was, you know, in theory, easier to teach guys who can make contact to hit for power versus guys who hit for power but can't make contact. So that was kind of the theory. They made a collection of those types over the last several years. I mean, we saw it, even guys they traded for. Like you go back to the Owen Millers and Tyler Freeman that they drafted, you know, different guys like that who have those things. I mean, Daniel Sheeman wasn't a guy who was a major leaguer, you know, a couple years ago. He had to reformat his entire game to make it where he was, but they haven't developed anything like that. You get your Stephen Kwans out of that approach. You know, they lucked out with Jose Ramirez that he was just a unicorn, but that's the thing with those types. You're betting on those guys figuring it out. And the problem with those types of hitters, you know, you want to go back to like Oscar Gonzalez, right? There's power in the bat, but he chases everything. So you get the John Kenzie Newells who can run into a home run, but they get pitched, you know, outside and they chase everything. So they haven't really found that balance of hitters where you've got guys who have good approaches at the plate, but can also grow into some power. I think that's where they're really lacking is the approach thing. But judging a hit tool is by far the hardest thing to do when it comes to acquiring prospects or drafting. They've done a better job of acquiring guys from outside their organization with that, if you want to go back to guys like Josh Naylor for a while. But as far as amateur development, it's a really hard thing to evaluate.
So the Guardians and all Guardians fans practically clamoring for this point to see some combination of Chase DeLauder and CJ Kafis. Why aren't they in the major leagues, and how far away should we expect it to take?
I mean, I think for Chase DeLauder, it's just a matter of health. He just recently played 3 games in a row for the first time all season, so he's not playing tonight. I know a lot of people every time he's not in the lineup in Columbus, everybody's wondering if he's getting called up. So he just finally played 3 games in a row for the first time, and they also had a quasi-doubleheader yesterday, so they're getting him some rest. I think it's for Chase Lauder, it's really about volume. Everything looks good at AAA right now. He's hitting. The approach is good. He's just got to stay on the field. So I think once they build his volume up, there's really no reason he couldn't be up unless they really, really want to hang on to this Nolan Jones thing, which, you know, he's shown good signs, but everybody in this offense has shown, you know, a good 3-4-5 game stretch, like Bo Naylor too, and has kind of fallen back into the same habits, unfortunately. The CJ Capus thing is a little more difficult to me because there's not really an ideal fit, because you have to decide, like, what you're doing with Kyle Manzardo, right? They're platooning Manzardo and Fry, and they're trying to get Fry to be what he was a year ago, and that hasn't happened yet, understandably so. You got Carlos Santana. They've tried CJ Capus in the outfield. You know, he's not any worse of a defender in the outfield than Jonathan Rodriguez, if you ask me. But the problem is he's also left-handed. If he was right-handed, he'd be a perfect fit right now. But I don't think he's like a guy that you're like, we can put him in the outfield 5 days a week and be fine. But they also don't mind playing Nolan Jones in center. So I don't think defense is also the question either. So I think it's about fit. But I also think there's some more red flags in Capus's profile. Like, he expands the zone a little more than DeLauder does, so that's going to get him a little more trouble at the major league level, I think. And he's probably more of a platoon guy. And you got to look at the home road splits too. A, there's a big gap between the AAA and major league pitching, and B, Huntington Park in Columbus is a hitter's haven. So I'd have to go back and look at the stats specifically, but I know some guys are performing much better in Columbus than they are on the road. But DeLauder, there should be a fit soon. Capus, it just depends on the length they want to go with Nolan Jones and how comfortable they are with him in the outfield.
Justin, it's interesting you said something there, that there are a lot of young guys that, and by the way, even one or two that aren't with a big league team anymore that have shown signs, right? And if we run through some of the names, Rocchio, Martinez, Manzardo, Arias, Naylor, Schneeman, John Kensie, I'm probably losing a few extra names here as well, and yet none of them have punched through. None of them. If we just build that list of guys who've got the talent but haven't punched through yet, is there a guy or two that you're most confident will eventually tear off and all of a sudden we got an everyday player on our hands?
I mean, out of that entire group you listed there, I would probably say it's Angel Martinez. I think there's enough combination of contact there. I don't like the approach overall. It's very aggressive. He does chase a lot. But you can see what he does with the bat when he makes contact, and he can hit all over the field and run, and he's versatile defensively. He can hit lefties. He's still trying to figure out hitting righties, ironically. But I think there's enough tools there to make him interesting. I still kind of view him as a super utility guy. I kind of look at him like Willie Castro, who also ironically was, you know, an ex-Indians prospect. I could see that kind of role working out for him. The rest of the guys, to me, none of them really have standout tools. That's the problem, is a lot of these guys have 45s and 50s if you're looking at the 2080 scouting scale, and those things are fine. But if you don't have one real impact tool to fall back on, as soon as like you're have the inability to make contact or have a good approach, everything is, you know, everything goes out the window, and all you're relying on is you know, speed and defense, which those guys have, but they need more impact on the offensive side of the ball.
Justin, great stuff, man. You kill it with the Locked On Guardians podcast. You guys have developed a great following there, and I think you're a place that Guardians fans go because they trust what you guys do, and I just want to say congrats on all that. Proud of here, because I'll totally claim you for 92.3 The Fan, former interns, and really great stuff, bud.
Yeah, appreciate it, Nick, and glad to have you back in Cleveland, trust me.
Well, thank you so much. Justin Latta there, Locked On Guardians. What?
Nothing. I didn't say
you
anything.
You and Mac exchanged a look. Now I'm going, I'm in the Peterlin role. All of a sudden I'm like, what was that look about? Justin on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Great stuff. Check out the Locked On Guardians podcast. We'll react to Justin and what they got right and what they got wrong. About 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Rays fans had some things to say about Kevin Cash. Oh, sorry, Rays fan. Had some things to say about Kevin Cash early in his career. And there are just natural things that I'm sure he's got to work through. In fairness, guys, I don't think the good managers are ever done growing or learning or evolving. But I just think, like, I don't think any part of 36 and 35, or they're one game above 500. I might be off on the exact record. I don't think any part of one game above 500 has anything to do with Stephen Vogt.
So I think it's... A sophomore slump's a weird way to, because you don't think of managers having sophomore slumps. Like, if he implies essentially the same method, but also tries to adapt and learn more things, it's like, still the same manager he was a year ago. You just have a much different roster. I think there's growing pains he's going through in learning how to navigate a bullpen that isn't stellar. And now he's running into that where it's, hey, I can't really just throw out any of these guys and it's working. And he's trying to navigate that himself. Like, I think part of it is areas we didn't see him necessarily have to work through last year. He's having to work through this year.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Here. I don't think it's a slump. I think he's just met with different challenges.
So, listen, I think if you had told anyone, hey, they're going to be one game above 500 on June 20th, I think people, if we talk about how people are talking about this team in the preseason, I think people nationally would be like, that's exactly where they should be, right? There. And by the way, with a good spot to, if you buy, you might be able to jumpstart this thing, or you might be a seller. Because people in baseball thought they were going to be the fourth best team in this division. So I think it's in Cleveland where, and this is where, to me, you can't be pissed that Naylor and Jimenez aren't here and then turn around and be like, well, why are we one game above 500? That must be Steven Vogt. You know, like, yeah, it's not a flawless roster. And I actually think there were parts of this roster, you know, I think the bullpen's still a top five bullpen. I think the stats mostly bear that out. And I still don't think we've seen the best of this bullpen. I think this rotation, I think the numbers tell you it's a bottom 10 rotation. I think this rotation has the ability to finish the season. And I'm not talking statistically. I'm saying the last 2 months, when this thing does come together, we could be saying that's one of the 10 best rotations in baseball. It's the lineup that you're like, all right, how do we... Where is the player? What's the thing that's going to make this thing, you know, bring it down a notch? And I don't know the answer, by the way. I don't know that there is a quick fix other than you might have to restack the deck here, and that might involve trading players to bring talent in. But I just continue to come back to the idea of, I think Steven's a really good manager, and I think it's impossible to manage if you don't have some. Last year, he had no rotation. Not what he has now, which is the same five guys roughly coming out every 5 days. He also didn't have a very good lineup, although it overproduced a little bit to start the season. He had a great bullpen. He had an elite-ass bullpen. And so what did he do? He worked an elite bullpen. The bullpen hadn't been elite. The rotation hasn't been elite. Or it's been serviceable, I think, by now, but there were points early where it wasn't any good. The lineup has been bad, the worst in baseball. So it's like, at what point does he just have an impossible mission to accomplish with this team?
Yeah, probably right now. Probably actually for the last like month and a half, he's had an impossible mission. And he's kept you above 500. I think he shows why he was a manager of the year last year. There's part of me looking at last year and just saying, there was so much that went right for the Guardians. Like, hey, they played, an incredible like 22-game stretch that they basically rode all year long. And they overperformed. Like, realistically, you looked at the team. Yes, they made moves. It's not the same team as last year. That's part of the reason for the downslope. That team last year just overperformed. Josh Naylor was what he was. And then you got great seasons out of Guys like David Fry, who had never shown it before. Lane Thomas played really well for you once you got to the playoffs. That helped you push to the ALCS. You're not getting that right now, partially because of injuries, but also I think partially because I don't know that those players were ever supposed to be like the performing the way they were. You were just banking on the fact that, hey, they did, and hopefully they do it again.
I think this is like 2022 all over again. Meaning, like, I think this year you were close to the 2022 team where, all right, strong rotation. The rotation was better than the bullpen, but really, really strong pitching, and you got just enough hitting. So the problem is you haven't gotten – you're about 10% off or 15% off getting just enough hitting. And so this is where, like, we start to try and apply it to, like, the future part of this, and most specifically things like what do you do with the deadline? Like, I don't know you get better just by bringing Chase DeLauder up. If Nolan Jones finally just puts it together consistently, I don't know you get better just by that. You know, like, trying to figure out how you get wholesale better, meaning you're not just like, well, there's three guys in that lineup that are really good, three guys that don't kill you, and three guys that are unplayable. I don't know. I really don't know how you do that without bringing talent in. And as of right now, like, okay, is Juan Brito going to change the course for this? Because he might just be another guy, as Justin describes it, as not having an elite trait. Okay, that probably doesn't mean you're going to be a great player. You might be a serviceable player, but, I mean, you're awash in a sea of serviceable players. A few of them that I think can break out. Like, that's why this kind of, John Ketsy had to go to AAA. He had to. He was unplayable.
Statistically the worst hitter in baseball.
But, like, the thing that kills me about it is he at least had the elite trait. And I think the pressure of being in this lineup killed him. And so, like, that's a guy, like, that's legitimately a guy that I think he went to, like, a no-stress place. Like, and I've made this comp before, but Jesus Aguilar, who just, he didn't fit what Tito wanted. He got in his own head. He stunk. And it just, he went to Milwaukee and then bam, he was a really nice player for about 5, 6, 7 years in baseball. And ironically, was what you needed at first base, a right-hander with pop. I think John Kensi could be that. But instead of being a 20 to 25, maybe occasional 30 home run hitter like Jesus, John Kensi could be Joey Gallo from the right side with just tweaks in his approach and just not playing in pressure. And that's what scares me. It's like, I think Martinez is an everyday player. I don't know he's an all-star, but I think he's a high-functioning, good player. But can he develop in this environment?
I think so. I don't know I'm with you. I don't know the fix, but I think part of it would be, and maybe where I draw some of my biggest gripes with the way that Votes handled the lineup this year, is like you have young players. It's the fact that they don't get everyday at-bats. And like that pressure is not going to change. That's going to be there and it might not lead to anything. But I think when you're platooning like four positions at a time, it makes it really difficult to find out what you have in hitters.
Well,
like,
but that's not his decision. That's just the way the roster is constructed. Yeah.
To a degree. I mean, I think like when we talk about first base, that's the way the roster is constructed. You're not going to play Carlos Santana and you're going to try to mix Kyle Manzardo in. I think when you look at places like right field, yeah, you got a couple of them. You could also stick a guy out there more often than not.
Like who else? So you're saying more Nolan Jones instead of this strict platoon that they had?
Right, like just roll Nolan out against lefties, see what happens, stick him there, see if he actually makes a turnaround and starts to hit them instead of trying to be like, we're in a platoon right, we're in a platoon center, shortstop, second, and then the occasional Austin Hedges at catcher naturally as it would be.
I mean, listen, I do think the platooning alongside the all right, today you're the two hitter. Tomorrow you're the nine hitter. Wait, no, you're the four hitter. I'll be back in the nine hitter. I don't think that's good for the young players. I understand why they're doing it. Theoretically, if you don't have a good lineup, keep them guessing, right? Make them work. Which bad hitter, what is he not like again? So there's some of what I agree with, but it's like at some point you can have, I mean, you can be Gordon Ramsay, if I give you inferior ingredients, you're going to cook a less than 5-star meal.
Yeah, I just think it's like, again, it's a lot more with the older players. Like right field's interesting to me because you have Nolan Jones, who's still younger, but it's not like you don't know what you have in him to some degree. And Lane Thomas is out there and mixing into center. With guys like Angel and guys like Arias, at this point, I just kind of stick them in the lineup, pick a spot in the lineup for them to hit. And you're just going, okay, pretty much play every day. Like, go out there, at least hit in the same spot every day. If I move you around defensively a little bit, especially with Angel, if I'm, like, tossing you at second one day and then out in center another day to make this lineup work, maybe that. But throw them every day at bats, and then, I mean, heck, by the time the trade deadline rolled around, if you had done it from more so the beginning of the year, you'd probably have closer to an answer of, do I have a guy that might be an everyday hitter, or do I have to go look somewhere else?
I just think it's tough. Like, there haven't been too many young guys that haven't... Like, I think it's been the opposite. It's like, you really let John Kensie get to, like, a 3 WRC plus, which is, I mean, historically awful. You really let him get to that before you found something else to do in right field. That's a front office thing. That's not Stephen Vogt. Yeah. The Nolan Jones stuff I have no problem with, because he was some, he's, you know, like, it's been injuries. He's trying to get back. And then, oh, by the way, you traded for him right before the beginning of the season. There's a lot of change there. Give the kid time. And he's just been a more consistent player at the big leagues approach wise than John Kensie has. But like, my only real gripe right now is what they're doing with Manzardo, where it's like, okay, I know he's been bad at points. I don't think he's been consistently bad, but he's had some rough stretches here. He was also one of your three best hitters in the first 30 games of the season. Maybe go back, a power hitter. Maybe go back to that.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be happy if you gave Manzardo at-bats and he got his average up to 230 and kept at least where his home run trajectory is right now, or his projection.
Well, it was.
Yeah, but I'm saying...
I mean, at one point he was on pace for 30 to 35 home runs, and granted, the power's dropped off a little bit. Well, so have his opportunities. Since Fry came back, and I love David Fry, but like, respect David Fry. He can only DH. And like, I love Carlos Santana. I think Carlos is... I think he's rounding into Carlos' form. So I don't want to bench Carlos. All right. Well, Kyle's been here, though. That's no disrespect to David Fry, but would it be the worst thing in the world if David spent a little more time in AAA instead of creating this logjam?
Well, that's what Anthony, who is hosting coming up here in about 24 minutes, which everyone should listen to on Overtime with Jake Volnick, with Anthony Lant and Nick Padone. Shameless plug.
A good plug.
But Anthony had brought it up a couple of weeks ago. It's like, why don't you just... throw David Fry in AAA, let him get the at-bats, let him get his feet under him, instead of being like, well, he was an all-star last year, by the way, on an entire first-half run in which he was good. And then let him get his feet under him, and you still give the at-bats to Manzardo. Maybe you figure something out there. Maybe you end up trading Carlos Santana by the time the deadline rolls around, and then you don't have the same platoon issue with Manzardo not getting everyday at-bats.
We got In Case We Missed It, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.